And that's the thing, is that people just lose track of what Christianity teaches. We're waiting for a resurrection. But people want to believe, they want things now. I want my loved one in heaven right now. I want us to know that they're there, they're in heaven. I don't want to put them in the ground. You put them in the ground in hope. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. We hope in something. The dead already in heaven, that's no hope. What has already come to pass? Why do you yet hope for it? There'd be nothing to hope for. Really, in a true sense, if you give the word hope any meaning, it wouldn't be a question of hope, it'd be a question of the facts. We don't hope in a resurrection. We know they're risen from the dead already. The resurrection has already come. It's already passed. When they die, they're in heaven. A lie. If that's true, Christianity isn't. Because this is Christian teaching. That's what I follow. That's what the teaching is. Don't lose sight of it. Don't let the leaven of the corrupt doctrine of the Catholic Church, of the Protestant churches, of all the churches along the way, and the mysticism and the gobbledygook, don't let it corrupt your mind from the truth, which is so very simple. The dead rise, but they have not risen yet. You say, well, Paul, what about near-death experiences? Well, unless you want to grant to physicians the power to raise the dead, I cannot even say that they are dead. Give me a near-death experience of a man who was dead for 3 days, and I might be interested. But I don't want people to be near death, because near death is not death. Near death is nothing. They're just dreaming. When you die, if you truly experience death, you wouldn't even know you were experiencing death. Because as it is written, in the very day, their thoughts perish. That comes from Psalm 146. Verse 4. Well, look at it. Verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom is no help. Meaning the human. Though Christ called himself the son of man, this does not refer to Christ. But as... because Christ used that to refer to himself as a man. The Son of Man. It's interesting they refer to himself in that regard. And here it says, don't trust the Son of Man. It is humanity. In man there is no help. From the very beginning of Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have any being. Implying that in death, you don't have being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. You can go over the rest of the psalm if you want. But that's the part I really wanted to get to. In that day, when your breath goes forth, when you return to the earth, your thoughts perish. That's how I know near-death experiences aren't death experiences. They're near-death experiences. Sort of like having a near-the-edge-of-the-cliff experience. Is being near the edge of the cliff the same as going over the cliff? Like, wow, I know what's down at the other side because I got near the edge. It's not quite the same as falling off the edge. According to the scriptures, anyways, if you want to be a biblical Christian, you have to know that when people die, their thoughts perish. They don't think anymore. They don't feel anymore. All their love, all their hatred, all their envy, spite, love, it's all done away in the grave. But God calls them forth from that in the resurrection. He can restore life. And everything that says to the contrary is just a bunch of, just like these questions, these dilemmas that people draw up. Oh, well, there were 7 husbands. Well, what about if they're in the ocean, man, and the fishies eat them up? What's going to happen? I mean, how is he going to raise them? How is he going to find them? You got to solve this problem. It's a ridiculous problem because it's like the idea of resurrection is already ridiculous in the sense of it's beyond my comprehension how he can restore to a corpse any kind of life. I mean, if it's a skeleton, one of the skeletons going to get up and walk around? Obviously, as God made man from the dust of the ground, from the dust where God calls forth man's soul, wherever that be, he can call forth a body. Out of the thin air, the molecules coalescing or whatever. You don't have to be an expert on the mechanics of it to just believe and accept the teaching of the scriptures. If you want to be a Christian, I mean, you could be whatever you want. Don't listen to me. Make up your own religion. It's okay. I mean, I don't mind. But don't tell me what Christianity is. Don't tell me lies and leaven, false doctrine. Because it's the false doctrine in people's minds that perverts the way they read the scriptures. So what about Lazarus and the rich man? But the whole thing of Lazarus and the rich man is called the difficulty that people get into when misinterpreting a parable. They don't understand the parable, and therefore they misinterpret it, and they believe a fairy tale. Because the story of Lazarus and the rich man is a fairy tale. It has no reflection on reality as far as the specifics. In Abraham's bosom and blah, that's nonsense. That wasn't the point of Christ. And if I just turned you off after listening with me for so long, then so be it. Or wait till we get there. Luke 16, you can count the days. It's be about 20 days, probably about 3 weeks, maybe four, depending on how many days I miss. We'll be there and we're going to cover it in detail. But it has no bearing. This is spoken in doctrine. You know, when something is spoken in doctrine, it takes precedence over something spoken in a parable or a narrative. Meaning, let's say what Jesus said about all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth. That takes precedence over what he said in the Lazarus and the rich man parable. And then the things that Peter said in the doctrine of the resurrection in Acts 2 and 3, it takes precedence over what was said in the Lazarus and rich man. It takes precedence over it because it is said in doctrine. He's trying to explain the resurrection. He's trying to explain life from the dead and how it actually is. And so it takes precedence over something spoken in a parable to the enemies. When Christ speaks something in a parable to the enemies, he's not trying to teach them, this is what happens when you die. He's trying to teach them, this is how you are. This is what the kingdom of heaven is likened to. And it's through misunderstanding of these things and through having the leaven in your mind of a fairy tale, paganistic, ungodly, false doctrine of the spirits transcending the body and going to heaven. Paul, you just said spirits. Yeah, you're right. Maybe that was a bad choice of words. How about souls? Because it's the soul that remains in hell. Yes, the spirit returns to God who gave it, as it is written. But the spirit is not the person. Remember, John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He didn't come in the person and reincarnation of Elijah. He came in the spirit. So the spirit is not the man.